Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Nahmaduhu wa nasalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. Alhamdulillah. Tonight is the 26th of April in the year 2024. And alhamdulillah, we've completed the 12th week, the 84th night, that we're going through the illustrious and blessed life of the noble companion, Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu. And I'm steadily going through the encounter at Siffin. And we've got to the end of the first day. And the last thing I mentioned was Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu anhu upon Rasulullah's mule, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was making dua for the deceased. Amongst the dead was Sayyidina Habis radiyallahu anhu, the one who had the dream about this very encounter during Umar's Khalifah. In Ibn Abi Shayba, in his Al-Musannaf 11-74, it is related, Sayyidina Adi ibn Hatim radiyallahu anhu, he said, O Amir al-Mu'mineen radiyallahu anhu, is that Habis amongst them? I thought he was a good believer and had a strong faith. Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu anhu responded, he is still a good believer today. I.e., he then went on to relate the incident of the dream that he had during the reign of Umar radiyallahu anhu. So this relation is very interesting from many angles. So first of all, like I mentioned, I don't know how many nights prior, but Habis had the dream in which the sun and the moon collided with a huge force. And in the dream, when Umar inquired, which side were you on? He said, the moon. And Umar then dismissed him from his post as a judge. So Habis was martyred in this encounter. But who was the one asking Amir al-Mu'mineen, is that Habis? It was Adi ibn Hatim. Now, why is that interesting? Because Habis had married Adi's daughter. This was the father-in-law. So Adi knew who it was. It's my son-in-law. But notice, his son-in-law was on Muawiyah's side. So he goes, I thought he was a good believer. He had a strong faith. So Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu anhu said, he's still a good believer. And then he mentioned the dream. So Ali was also acquainted with that dream as well. So now, this shows that this Sahaba was martyred on the field of Siffin. So how do we look at this? With regards to the death of the few noble companions, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, who got involved in the fitna, our beloved messenger, he simply said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, killing will be sufficient for my companions. Killing will be sufficient for my companions, I during it. This is in Imam Ahmad's Musnad, Tabarani, Bulughul Amani, 22-170. So like I mentioned, very important to keep stressing this, very few Sahaba were in the fitna. But some were martyred, Habis being one of them. So Rasulullah told us, what did he say? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, killing is sufficient for my Sahaba. So what does that mean? Namely, it would be sufficient for any of them who would commit the mistake of fighting during these discords to be killed, as it would be an expiation for them. So this is how we look at it. Because he was on the opposite side of Amir al-Mu'mineen. He's martyred. Can we say he's martyred? Yes. So, but he was killed. And then you quote the hadith. Killing is sufficient for my companions. Sufficient for what? If they've made any error of judgment, Allah Ta'ala will purify them from that with the killing. Secondly, in the glorious Quran, the believers one and all are told to make the dua for these majestic souls. In Surah Al-Hashr, Surah 59, verse 10, Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He instructs, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem, and those who came after them, i.e. the companions, say, ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. O our Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgive us and our brethren who came before us in faith, and put not in our hearts any hatred against those who have believed. Our Lord, you are indeed full of kindness, most kind. So, what does it mention in this verse? Allah Ta'ala is instructing those who came after them. So who are them? The Sahaba. So this command is for those who came after the Sahaba. So what does Allah the Almighty and Glorious say we must now do? Make a dua. And what dua does he request us to make? O our Lord, forgive us and our ikhwanina alladhina sabakuna bil iman, our brethren who came before us with iman. Do not put in our hearts hatred against those who have believed. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. O Lord, you are indeed full of kindness, most merciful. So why? Why is this command in the Quran? The reason why our loving Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to supplicate for the forgiveness of the magnificent companions is clarified by no other than Tarjuman al-Quran, Abdullah ibn Abbas. What did he say? Radiallahu anhu. Do not curse the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered that one seeks forgiveness for them. For he knew they would soon be driven to conflict. Recorded in Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, it is Al-Fiqh Al-Akbar, page 142 of the English translation. So let's look at this. So what did the beloved cousin of Rasulullah say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is don't curse the companions. We should rather pray for their forgiveness. Allah Ta'ala's order, what was he referring to? This verse. Surah 59 verse 10, pray for their forgiveness. But then the question goes through the mind, pray for their forgiveness. What sin have they committed? So Ibn Abbas said, he knew they would soon be driven to conflict. So Allah Ta'ala was actually telling you in the Quran, pray for their forgiveness because these noble souls will end up on the battlefield and being killed. How sad therefore are the words of our beloved mother Sayyida Aisha radiyallahu anha when she said, they were ordered to seek forgiveness for the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but instead they cursed them. This is in Sahih Muslim. Abd ibn Humaid ibn Mardawih ibn al-Mundir ibn Abi Hatim add that she had recited this verse as well. So let's look at this. So is this statement of Aisha, our mother radiyallahu anha, a commentary of this dua? According to the tafsir authorities, yes. Our mother recited that verse where Allah Ta'ala says, pray for their forgiveness. Then she explained, they were ordered to seek forgiveness for the companions, but they cursed them. So who is she talking about? The deviants. Look how strange. If Allah Ta'ala goes turn right, are you going to say turn left? Who will ever say take a left if Allah Ta'ala says take a right? An unbeliever, a hypocrite, or you know, what else can you know? So look what she's saying. There's the irony. Pray for their forgiveness, divine command. It wouldn't be too bad if you did three quarters of that. You missed a quarter of it. You've done the complete opposite. What's the complete opposite of seeking forgiveness? Curse. So she was saying, you know, how ajeeb, how strange is that? So look how interesting. The Quran is saying pray for their forgiveness. Ibn Abbas said, why? Because they will be driven to conflict. And then the Quran goes, don't, Ya Allah, please don't put hatred in my heart for these noble souls. Aisha then adds the cherry to the cake. They are told to pray for their forgiveness and they curse them. You know, astaghfirullah. Sayyidina Ali returning to the conflict. Sayyidina Ali's grief over the sad loss of life can be determined by his own statement. He said, "How intelligent was the stance taken by Sa'd ibn Malik and Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu anhum. For if it is correct, the reward will be great. And if it is wrong, the consequence will not be serious." Recorded by Hafiz ibn Taymiyyah, rahmatullah alayh, in his Minhaj al-Sunnah, 6-205. So what was he referring to? He was praising the companions who kept away from the fighting, who kept neutral. He mentioned the two senior ones, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, Abdullah ibn Umar. He goes, how great, how intelligent they were. He goes, but if they made a mistake, it's not serious. Why? Because they haven't killed anybody. So there you can see he was grieving. He was thinking, you know, that was intelligence on their part. Both these illustrious companions had stayed aloof. Hafiz ibn Taymiyyah also said in his Minhaj al-Sunnah 6-205, Sayyidina Ali ibn Abu Talib, radiyallahu, he regretted things he did of fighting and other matters. He used to say, I failed in such a way that there is no justification for it. I made a serious mistake for which there is no excuse. I shall thus now be far more careful in the future and consult others. Then Ibn Taymiyyah said, rahmatullah alayh, he hated the direction that developments took when he saw people dissenting, becoming divided. And he saw the spread of evil, which made him feel that if he had the opportunity to start all over again, he would not have done what he did. So this is very important. We can't say he's made an error. But the question is, did he make an error? But Amir al-Mu'mineen, that was the best course. He had the best understanding. But because of his taqwa, what was he saying? He said, I failed in such a way that there is no justification. Why did he say that? He's passed. Because the loss of life. You know, he's grieving too much over this. Then he said, I made a serious mistake for which there is no excuse. Meaning, if I kept aloof, there would be no loss of life. Then he said, Ibn Taymiyyah said that if he had another chance, because I would have done it differently. Well, what did he say? I will consult others in future. Now, just to add here, what did he mean by that? So if you just go back maybe a year or so, he was consulting. And Abdullah ibn Abbas said to him, do not dismiss Muawiyah from the governorship. First take his pledge of allegiance, and after that you may dismiss him. This is recorded by Hafiz ibn Kathir in Al-Bidayah. Hazrat Ali did not take that advice. Why? Because he didn't think that Hazrat Muawiyah would refuse to obey his instructions. So there you go. Because if he had taken the advice of Ibn Abbas, if Muawiyah had pledged to him, then Ali said, you are dismissed. Now he has to listen. But had Muawiyah pledged to him? No. So here, few months, maybe a year later, he goes, I shall be far more careful in the future and consult others. But it's very important to highlight, he has not erred. He's just grieving over the loss of life. Look how easily you can make some serious errors here, astaghfirullah. Indeed, there is a report in which Iyas ibn Amr al-Aslami related that no other than Ali himself related that our beloved messenger told him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّهُ سَيَكُونُ بَعْدِ اخْتِلَافِ أَوْ أَمْرُ فَإِنِ اسْتَطَعْتَ أَنْ تَكُونَ السِّلْمُ فَفْعَلْ. After I am gone, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there will be a dispute or something. Thus, if you can adopt a peaceful stance, do so, O Ali. This is recorded in Ahmad in his Musnad number 695. So let's look at this. So is it authentic? It is da'if. Why? Because Iyas ibn Amr is unknown. So the one who said he heard it from Ali, nothing is known about this person. But Imam Ahmad recorded it, meaning that maybe there is something about him. Whatever the case, there's a weakness. Leaving that to one side, What did Rasulullah tell Ali sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? After I am gone, meaning after me sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there will be a dispute. And what did he say? Sayakunu ba'd ikhtilaf aw amr, or some order. فَإِنْ اسْتَطَعْتَ أَنْ تَكُونَ السِّلْ فَفْأَلْ. If you can adopt a peaceful stance, do so. Question, why didn't he recollect that? If the Prophet told him there's going to be a difference, adopt the peaceful stance, would he have taken the path where he thought blood was going to be shed? So again, how do you explain this hadith? Two ways. First, it's a weak hadith, so maybe it's an error. Or if it's a correct narration, just like our mother forgot the hadith of Uthman, where the Prophet said, if the hypocrites want you to take off your shirt, Uthman, don't take it off until you meet me, meaning the Khilafat. And she was then asked, why didn't you narrate this hadith? It would have saved his life. And she goes, I forgot. So we can say, maybe Ali forgot here. But the other thing, which is very interesting, how did the Prophet know? And why is he talking to Ali? So again, it's like his prophecy is just, it doesn't end. He's always talking to the right person. Ali, if something happens. And notice, you know, it's unbelievable signs of prophethood, you know, even in these tragic times. So moving to the second day of the major encounter, we've discussed the first. It is related in Tabari in his Tariq 5-630 that Ali offered the Fajr prayer of the next day when it was still dark, and then prepared to resume the attack. So again, just a quick point of fiqh. The Shafi'is and other ulama state it's better to offer Fajr when it's still dark. The Hanafis, rahimahumullah, they state it's more rewarding to offer it when there's a bit of light. So here it mentions that he offered Fajr the next day when it was still dark. So what was his usual pattern? He would delay. So this is again worth pointing out here. He altered some of the leaders, putting Abdullah ibn Badil al-Khuzai on the right flank in place of al-Ash'af ibn Qais, rahmatullah alayh, whom he now moved to the left flank. So he's basically swapped the generals. Why? War tactics. The two forces thus clashed once more. Abdullah ibn Badil, rahmatullah alayh, he managed to break Hazrat Muawiyah's left flank, radiyallahu, which was led by Habib ibn Maslama, rahmatullah alayh, and thus advanced in the direction of Sayyidina Muawiyah's battalion, showing unparalleled courage and valor. So what's happened? The commander now, who's on the left flank, he manages to break through that wing. And don't forget, like I mentioned, Muawiyah was in a certain area, that was where he was. He's heading towards him now. Sayyidina Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu then encouraged his Aleppo battalion, and due to the severity of the counter-attack, Abdullah ibn Badil was martyred. And Al-Ashtar now took his place as leader of the flank. So he's got through the flank of Muawiyah. He's getting towards Muawiyah himself, but his battalion, his the group who was guarding, they managed to not only repel, but they martyred Abdullah ibn Badil. So now who's made the commander of that wing is Malik al-Ashtar. So this is a very interesting personality. He was a deviant, but he was very courageous. So keep that in mind. It is related that the aged and venerable companion, Sayyidina Ammar ibn Yasir, radiyallahu anhu, he heard a man say next to him, the people of Ash-Sham have become kafirs, have become unbelievers. Ammar ibn Yasir, radiyallahu anhu, said, rather, they have transgressed against us, and we are now fighting them due to this transgression. Our Lord is one. Our Prophet is one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and our Qibla is one. This is recorded in Ibn Abi Shayba in his Al-Musannaf 15-290 with Hassan Chin. So what's happening? In the heat of the moment where people are getting martyred, some of the people on a Leesite. They have now finally made that statement. He goes, the people who are opposing us have become kafirs. He goes, no, they're killing us. So Ammar ibn Yasir, one of the great companions on the side of Ali, he goes, no, they've transgressed against us. We are forced to fight them, but our Lord is one, our Prophet is one, and our Qibla is one. Meaning, don't go to extremes. Don't make these statements. However, the Syrians were now pressing on their attack. It is related that Ali had made the following heartfelt dua at the critical moment of the battle. He said, Lord, if you give us victory over our enemy, then deliver us from mutiny and mischief and set us straight for the truth. However, if you give them victory over us, then let me have martyrdom and save the remaining of my companions from trial and fitna. Recorded in Al-Bidayah in the chapter on Sifin. So look at the beautiful dua he's made, Amir al-Mu'mineen. He sees the severity of the attack. So it's going either way. It could go either way. He made two duas. He said, if, O Lord, you give us victory, deliver us from this mischief, put us back on track. If you give them victory, bless me with martyrdom and save the remaining of my companions from this trouble. So look how beautiful. He knew that Allah Ta'ala will decide, and one of the two has to happen. But he didn't want to remain alive if it went against his. And that is what Allah Ta'ala ultimately answered, the second dua. Right? So why? Because he wanted to go. So here something critical happened. This was the turning point in the encounter. And it was the faithful martyrdom of Sayyidina Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu. When Sayyidina Ammar radiallahu anhu, who was leading the infantry, like I mentioned, saw his forces being driven back and his adversaries advancing, he began to encourage and make clear to them that they were upon the truth and the severe blows of the people of Sham should never deter them. It is related, he said, I can see that the Syrians are fighting us so fiercely that it may create a doubt in the minds of some of you. By the one in whose hand is my soul, even if they pushed us back until they made us reach Sa'afat Hajar, we would still believe we are in the right and they are in the wrong. We would still believe that our righteous people are in the right and they are in the wrong. This is recorded in Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawa'id 7-243 with a sahih chain of transmission. So what's happening? The tide seems to be turning in favor of Muawiyah radiallahu. So Ammar ibn Yasir, who's in his 90s, he sees that maybe this is putting some doubts in the believers' forces. So he tells them, he goes, even if we get pushed back, and he mentioned the place maybe in Yemen, is we still know we're on the right, and they have erred as compared to us. Because do not allow this to cause you confusion. But what's interesting, Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhuma, he himself was showing signs of frustration because he wanted to get martyred. So he himself thinking, I need to get out of here. So what's beautiful was outwardly he's encouraging his own forces. Don't let them, have doubts. Even if you're being pushed back, we're still in the light. But in his heart, he was wanting martyrdom. And why? We'll mention that tomorrow, inshallah. So all I mentioned today was basically the martyrdom of Sayyidina Habis, radiallahu, the one who had the dream of the sun and the moon colliding. And how touching that his father-in-law, who was on the side of Ali, said, I thought he was a good believer. Notice his conviction. And Ali comforted the father-in-law by saying, he still is a good believer. Meaning, he's been blessed with martyrdom. And then I mentioned, how do we look at the martyrdoms of the companions on the battlefields? And we say what the Prophet said. This is sufficient for them. Meaning for purification, expiation, the ranks, whatever. And then I mentioned the glorious verse of the Quran. Again, how can any Muslim call himself a Muslim and go against this verse of the Quran? We're told to pray for their forgiveness. Imagine going to the Lawafit. How do you explain this? Rabbul Alameen is saying, Surah 59, verse 10, forgive us and the brothers who came before us. And you cursed them. So again, note, you can see how glaring their deviation is. And then, of course, I explained the reason why Allah Ta'ala instructs us to pray for their forgiveness. Because Ibn Abbas said they will soon be driven to conflict. And it happened. And then I mentioned Ali's grief. Obviously, with so much loss of life, he considered himself to be at fault. But his wordings were very hard upon himself. And this is the sign of the believer. Very hard upon himself, but extremely merciful to others. When he saw the harvest marked on the opposing camp, look how merciful he was. Because he's still a good believer. And yet to himself he goes, I have failed. I've made a serious mistake. And this is the believer. The one with a weak iman, he's hard upon others and merciful to himself. So we can take this lesson as well. And then I mentioned the second day of the encounter. And of course, leading up to Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu's ultimate martyrdom. Are there any questions? Let us. سبحان بحمدي سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والأصل الإنسان الذي خسر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات واصبر الحق واصبر الصبر صدق الله العظيم